just want to get your attention for just a moment. Yes, with all this rain especially, we still need people to sign up for mowing the yard. Would really appreciate folks signing up for that and getting that done. Also, on the 25th, it's a Monday, we will be having the carpets cleaned, which means on Sunday the 24th, we need to get the chairs up, stacked, so they can clean the carpets. And there'll be some need for volunteers to help with that after the service next week. So be thinking about it and plan, if you would, a little extra time for the service. So, were there any other things that needed to be mentioned? Does anybody knows of? All right, well, it looks like not. So we're going to start with prayer, and then we're going to get into this thing we call worship. But I want to explain just for a minute before we go into worship. Worship is far more than just the songs. Worship is really a lifestyle. And I said to the team earlier, I truly believe that this life we live is dress rehearsal for worship for eternity. And that everything we do, if we understand that it's with and for Him, is an act of worship. So I pray for each of us today that we'll understand. And Heavenly Father, as we begin this time together, we call it worship. We call it services. But what we really want is You. We want to be drawn into Your very presence. So thank You for this worship team, this team that comes together, and that they worship You with all of their hearts. And they lead us and they help us move into Your presence, that You would receive, because You alone are worthy of all our love, all of our praise, all of our gratitude, because of Your great love. Thank You, Father, for taking a seat with us here. And I pray, Father, that You would just open Your arms and receive our love and adoration as we worship today. And may the word that You give us, may Your truth set us apart for Your kingdom purpose as we take to heart Your truth. Transform us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Your name. you that in every season, God, you are still God, that we will always have a reason to sing. You are always faithful, always constant. You are never failing, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you never forsake us. We thank you that we can put a faith in a God who remains always and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth.
Father, may we just stand firm. May we stand firm on who you are. Stand firm on the truth of your word and the words that you speak over us, Lord. May we know that you are our cornerstone, Lord, that you are our firm foundation. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again, team. Now, if I just had a sweater and some tennis shoes, I could be Mr. Rogers. You know, the story of Abraham always fascinated me. Some years ago, a woman named Ellen Gunderson Traylor, Ellen, last name. wrote a series of historical novels, biblical novels, and she would take these biblical characters and as accurately as possible, given the historical evidence, fill in some blanks. She did not distort God's word at all. She used God's word in telling the historical story, but she also filled in some things based on her knowledge of history. I just want to get up so I can see your face, Susan. And it's an amazing thing. When you think about a man who was quite wealthy, actually, he was of high regard in the city of Ur in the Chaldeans. It was one of the earliest communities where they had a library. This was an amazing place, and he was considered one of the top citizens, if you will. And he would go out for a walk, and he would talk with God. Now, who taught him that? He didn't have any scriptures to go by. They hadn't been written yet. They hadn't been written down. God was speaking to him, and God called him out. And he left everything behind. And he had to have quite a bit of wealth, because he put together an entourage that could go through some very dangerous territory with bandits and with kings and people that would want what he had. And so he had to have not only servants and his own family, but he had to have some kind of soldiers, some kind of people who were skilled in protecting the group as they went. And they had a long way to go, so they had to have a lot of supplies. And he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know how far, how long. Can you imagine hearing a talk? Nobody else knows who this person is that you're walking around talking to. You know? It's not Harry the Rabbit, but it's, you know, this is the Lord God Almighty. And he said yes. And he gathered up his family, his dad, his brother's family, and they go. As amazing as that is, I find that his faith to follow where God would lead him is incredible. There's another group of people who left everything behind. A fellow comes along and he teaches with great authority. When you hear his words, you realize they're true. They're not just true, they have power. And there's something about a man who has both the ability to be loving, gentle, kind, and compassionate with power and authority. He stood out. And so one brother hears him speak and teach, and he's just amazed. And he goes to find his brother. He says, "You've got to come hear this guy." And two other brothers, nicknamed the Sons of Thunder. And Jesus comes along and says, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Now, what kind of a call is that? First of all, I don't know that I could sell that. How's that going to buy my bread and my milk and my needs, pay my rent? "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." They left their careers. They left their nets. They left what they loved to do Remember we talked last week about men finding their identity in what they do. These were fishermen. Now, Peter and Andrew, not particularly well educated, but they knew the sea. They knew fish. And they knew the market. James and John, sons of Zebedee, they were going to take over the fleet. Their dad was going to pass on to them this business that was a big deal. Leave it all behind and follow me. Interesting, Jesus didn't say, follow me and I'll teach you how to build a synagogue. He didn't say, follow me and I'll teach you 10 steps to success that you can go and teach to others. By the way, you can charge them about 300 shekels apiece while you teach them this. He just said, follow me, and I'll help you catch the souls of men. Wow. When we talk about steadfast faith, I'd say these qualify. The kind of faith that will irrationally leave behind all that they know to go to places that they don't know yet how bad they are. Abraham had no clue what Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be like. Now, Peter was told after his following Jesus, he was told by Jesus that he would be bound and led where he did not want to go. That was what he had to look forward to follow Jesus. Every one of the disciples except John, the beloved, was martyred and met a violent death because of their faith. Steadfast. What's it mean to be a man, to be steadfast? Well, I'll tell you what it's not. And it rhymes with Lot. When you look at Abraham and his nephew Lot, that's not what it means to be a man. Okay, Lot tried to resist all of the evil and the sin in his home there in Sodom and Gomorrah. But he was controlled by his family. The kinds of choices he made were just abhorrent to me. And all of this, I've got to bring in just a little bit of humor, and ladies, forgive me, but I think it warrants itself. So here's this wife who's really not very supportive of Lot, and loves the wickedness of this community. And so they're leaving, and they were warned by the angels not to look back, or they'd turn into a pillar of salt. So, do you know what Lot's last words were to his wife? Is anybody following us? I'm sorry. Steadfast faith is to do what is difficult with confidence that God's in control. God is calling us. Now, I said it last week. I'll say it probably every time I preach in this series. Ladies, this is not diminishing at all your role in this relationship if you're married. And if you're not married, you are still of great value to our community and to our, we can't do it without you. We need each other. And there is a cooperation, there is a partnership in a healthy community. And so it's important that we take our roles seriously. We men have a spiritual responsibility to provide leadership to our families and to those who look to us for that leadership. If we defer our leadership role to someone else, we break down God's plan. When Adam stood there silent in the garden, when he knew Eve was not supposed to eat that fruit, he's the one who's responsible. He's the one who deferred. He's the one who, by his silence, allowed sin to break down God's plan and purpose. So, men, it is important for us to act like men. It is important for us to be men, not just act like one. We need to be men. And we need to be men of faith, steadfast in the faith of Jesus. It's not easy. And thank God for grace, because we will fail. Just ask my wife. She married a man who's flawed. I love her so much. And she is so, so good to me. And I don't deserve it. But you know what? It's that working together that has given us almost 39 years of great life together. And we are reaping the rewards of it now with our own families and seeing them grow. Because it is something that is caught more than taught. And if you're going to be a dad someday, and if you're not already, you want your daughters to know what a man is. She's going to look to you. You're going to want your sons to know what a man is. He's going to look to you. And even if there's traits about you that he doesn't like, he will probably still emulate them. Be steadfast in the faith. God's calling us to that. What's the nature of your faith relationship with God? Because that determines our steadfastness. Now stay with me here, because it's really important. If I want to be steadfast in faith, there's a little contradiction there, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. These don't sound like things that are anchored down real tight. But they are. God's word is an anchor. God's truth is immutable. God's truth is forever. And it doesn't change. Steadfast in the faith of Jesus Christ, who promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So let's take a look at that for just a minute. First of all, to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ, we come into that relationship justified. I want you to hear that word, justified. Declared innocent of my sin. Doesn't mean that I'm not a sinner. It means that I'm declared innocent of that sin. And the reason that can be is because Jesus paid the price that was mine. a debt that I could never pay. The wonderful news is that if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of some unrighteousness. Is that right? Yeah, well, oh, not many sins, much unrighteousness. No, all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just to forgive us all of our unrighteousness. He draws us in as His own. Now, I don't know about you, but before Jesus, I know that my wife would not have given me a second look. If I would have asked her out, she would have laughed, and that would have been the end of it. I was not a good man. I was not steadfast in any faith that didn't please me. And I got to tell you that that path was one that was not just unfruitful, but it was harmful. It was harmful to me and harmful to those around me. I found myself surrounded by users, and I realized that I too was a user, not just of illegal substances or of too much alcohol, but using one another to get what we want. That's not a very good place to be, and that's not a good relationship to base anything on. If you're having a friendship or a relationship with someone that isn't based on mutual respect and mutual understanding and love, yes, men, we are to love one another with brotherly love, then you're not going to get very far. And you're going to find that those relationships will become cancerous. They will eat away, and your identity will not be clear. And that's where so many people struggle, because they don't know who they are in Christ. But I am justified, I'm forgiven because of who Jesus is and what He did. I am loved completely. There's nothing I can do to make God love me more, and nothing I can do to make Him love me less. I know you've heard that before. I am forgiven for all my sin. Sins past, and even those that may happen in the future. I'm forgiven because I'm following Him. And the Holy Spirit will convict me. We're going to get to that in another step here in a minute. So you're declared innocent of your sin because of what Jesus did. That's the first part of your relationship that helps you remain steadfast. Think about it in this world. Think about not just what Jesus did for you. I want to remove it from a religious or spiritual concept. I want to put it into a more practical concept. If someone you know has always got your back, they always have your highest good at heart, and they're always acting in a way that blesses you, don't you trust that person? Don't you want to be around that person, and don't you reciprocate those same values? Yes, you do. And if you don't know what that's like, I'm so very sorry for you. And I pray that you would come to know Jesus, because He will lead you into that kind of human relationships with others. Justified, declared innocent of sin. But when that happens, we are also, by the way, the passage I quoted was 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9. adopted. Adopted is the next word I want to tell you. Because that's what happens when we come to God with faith and trust who Jesus is. It tells us in Romans 8, 15 through 17, that God adopts us as his own. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if that amazes you or not, but it amazes me. Why would he want to adopt me? I don't know, but I'm glad he did. I'm going to find it here. For if you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Wow. That means everything that Jesus inherits, I get to inherit. We are joint heirs with Christ. All that he has, is, and does, God looks at us and he sees Jesus. We are children of the Lord God Almighty, and we are heirs with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Does that not move you? Does that not maybe inspire an amen? Praise God. There is a promise here of sonship, of belonging, of more than just that. You know, if you want to go down and join the Elks Club and pay your dues and, you know, maybe go through a little ceremony, you can join the Elks. If you want to go to Rotary and join, you can join Rotary. But to be adopted by the King of Kings, by the Lord God Almighty, to be his sons and daughters, now that is something that should wow us. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, I didn't call my dad father. I called him dad. I was really little. I might have called him daddy. I don't think so. But this idea of Abba is a familiar word. It's not just a formal Lord God Almighty. I like that because it describes who he is. But he's also this dad who's got his arms wide open. And when you're hurting, you can crawl up in his lap. And he puts his arms around you and reassures you that it's going to be okay. He's got you. Like a true story of a pastor whose son was climbing a tree and a tornado was coming and the winds were blowing. And he was trying to get his son out of the tree and the son was scared to death. And he said, son, just let go. I'll catch you. Son let go, dad caught him. We're adopted as sons and daughters. Accepted by faith. The privilege is beyond words, beyond expression. And then we're sanctified. We use that word sometimes without knowing what it means. I hope you do know what it means. Sanctified means set apart for God's eternal kingdom purpose. Set apart for God's eternal kingdom purpose. Now, in the temple in the Old Testament, they had these plates. They were made of gold. They followed some, you know, God's instructions on what they were to use in the temple. And those utensils could only be used in the temple, in service for the temple. They were set apart. They were sanctified. So yes, like an offering plate, like a chalice, like candlesticks, they could be sanctified. They were only to be used for God's service, for His glory. You and I are called to be sanctified, set apart. But that sanctification comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 helps us understand that a little better. Verses 13 and following. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit. Through sanctification by the Spirit. If you have not experienced that and you find yourself struggling with sin, you find yourself struggling with temptation and not able to withstand it, I want to tell you that there's something here for you to understand that God wants you to know. He did not want you just to remain justified. Where when I was a teenager, I kept going to that altar every few Sundays because I had more sin to confess. And I felt like I needed to be forgiven again and again. And I did. But you live in that justified state without victory, and it becomes wearisome. And then you realize you're adopted because of God's love for you. You're adopted as His own, and that He doesn't want to leave you there. Where's the power come from to live above sin? Where's the power come from to overcome life-controlling issues? Where's the power come from to stand up boldly and take a stand for your faith when others are ridiculing you? And it's very unpopular and politically incorrect. Where's that power come from? It comes by the Holy Spirit that you invite to dwell in you. When you invite the Holy Spirit to dwell in you, you now have, what did I tell you earlier? You have what Jesus has. You're a co-heir with Christ. He went back to the Father so He could send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit resides in us. Salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, believing the truth of God, His holy word, helps sanctify us, helps set us apart for His service. I will tell you that if you follow the world's truths, which are not truth, first of all, because they can be whatever you want them to be. The world says just that. What's your truth? My truth is this. Or I self-identify as that. You see, God's truth is steadfast. And when we believe His truth and His Holy Spirit is invited in, we are sanctified, set apart for His use, His service, His glory. And it goes on to say, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, steadfast, stand fast, and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. This idea of inviting the Holy Spirit in so that we can be sanctified, set apart, it is tapping into the very power of God Almighty that we can live a life victorious. And when faced with incredible evil, we won't be afraid. Well, we might be afraid, but we will have the courage to face that which causes us fear. We'll realize that fear is a liar, as the song says. don't have to be bound by fear. And that boldness that comes with the Holy Spirit will allow us to tell our story because of, one, confidence in the Holy Spirit, and two, because of the love that we have in our heart for others, that the Holy Spirit became the conduit to fill our hearts with. And our hearts are perfected in love through the work of the Holy Spirit. So if you're not at a place where the Holy Spirit is fully active in your heart and your soul, you're missing out. You're missing out. We're called to follow Jesus as men of God. When we lead our wives, we lead our children, we lead our sometimes siblings, and other times maybe even our own parents. When I got saved at a youth camp and started going to church regularly, my mom started going with me. I did not know that my mom was raised in the Church of God. And that she had been a Christian as a girl. But she had followed another path for a while. They weren't wicked people. They just quit going to church and they followed kind of the world's ways. But you know what happened? When I started following Jesus, Mom started following Jesus. And Dad started to go to church every once in a while. He was a CE Christian. Christmas and Easter. But he started going more than just Christmas and Easter. And then when my brother died, his oldest son, my oldest brother, and we were on a road trip together, he and I, to pick up my brother's belongings in Milwaukee and going back to Decatur, Illinois, I asked Dad, I said, Dad, I really want to know where you stand with the Lord. I want to tell you something. You want to talk about a difficult conversation that takes boldness, that takes the Holy Spirit? And he says, you know, I don't see church the same way that you and your mom do. But he says, I do know that Jesus is the only way I'm going to heaven. And he quoted to me the matters of first importance, that Jesus died on a cross for his sins, that Jesus was buried, that he was raised again on the third day. And because of that and his belief in that, he believed that he would receive God's grace. And I said, amen. So I was able to officiate his funeral with a sense of joy more than grief, because I knew where he was. Now, this world, forgive my language, but it's going to hell in a handbasket. I mean that very literally. If you don't know what an avatar is a make-believe character that someone uses to portray themselves. They make that character who they want to look like, who they want to be. Unfortunately, people have used these avatars online to be predators for children and business scams. They present themselves as another gender. They present themselves as something very attractive, and they entice people because of this make-believe person. And these avatars are all around us, by the way. It may not be as intentional as they think, but they're just make-believe people trying to put forth what they want you to believe about them, that they want to believe about themselves, but they don't even know who they are. Philippians 4:1 Paul says, therefore, dearly beloved, stand fast in faith. Talks about something very important. The therefore is actually following Philippians 3, 20 and 21, where it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, where we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform these lowly bodies to be conformed like his glorious body. Therefore, stand firm. Stand fast in the faith. That's what we have to look forward to. To have these, boy, I can't wait for mine. This broken down old body is going to be transformed into God's, like Jesus' own glorified body. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I know there'll be no more pain. I know that there'll be no more tears. And possibly I get to walk through walls. I mean, you know, he just showed up places, you know. Walking through locked doors. And yet, he could sit down and eat a meal with his followers. The glorified body. What's that going to be like? I can only imagine. I hope that you're trying to imagine what it's going to be like as you stand firm in the faith to come to that place where you have for all eternity the opportunity to love and praise and worship and be loved by your Creator, your Father in heaven. Well, God is so good. And when you realize who you are in Christ, you'll understand the words of this next song that we're going to sing to close. It is well with my soul. No matter what comes, no matter what we face, no matter how difficult life can be, it is well. I pray that it is well with your soul today. And I pray that you will help take a stand firm in the faith to lead others to a place where they also believe it is well. I'm going to invite you all to stand as the worship team leads us in this amazing song.
Peace like a river.
You and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord turn towards you and give you his peace.